time for The Outspoken Cyclist, your weekly conversation about bicycles, cycling, and related topics. The Outspoken Cyclist on-air show is heard every Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. in northeastern Ohio on WJCU 88.7 FM and streamed at WJCU.org. Our weekly podcast is available at the close of the on-air show at OutspokenCyclist.com or download it with your favorite podcatching app to listen anytime. Now here's your host, Diane Jenks.
Hello and welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. I'm your host, Diane Jenks. This is our show for January 18th, 2020. Hopefully, this show will take you away from all the insanity going on pretty much everywhere else, all over the world. Our first topic is the incredible response we got from our Facebook question last week. What materials are you riding? There were well over 100 people weighing in, and as expected, lots of carbon and aluminum, a fair amount of steel, and to my surprise, a pretty generous smattering of titanium. So this week's question, how many bikes do you currently own? This ought to be an interesting week. We begin the show this week with Eve Kosky and Roger Strauss. They are the longtime ride directors of the Georgia Tandem Rally. The GTR, because isn't everything an acronym, is unique in that Eve and Roger have always been the ones to produce the event, as opposed to many other tandem rallies that are hosted by different clubs in their respective regions around the U.S. And because of their continual involvement and their attention to detail, Roger and Eve see an enormous number of tandem teams return year after year. They'll be with me in a moment. Guest number two this week is about to turn 20 years old. He's a student at the University of Vermont and was just chosen as part of the U23 US 2020 Cyclocross World Championship team. What's truly endearing about Sam Noel is his appreciation for his team, his sponsors, USA Cycling, and the incredible outpouring that came in to help him get to Switzerland at the end of the month to race for the U.S. Finally, I'll speak with Joy Hancock. She's the executive director of Bike Florida. For many years, in fact 25 years, I thought of Bike Florida as a week-long ride around and across the state. But that is not the case today. Bike Florida is all about advocacy, tourism, and making Florida a safe, fun, and economically successful place to ride your bike. So before we get started with Eve and Roger, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that the RagBride team will reveal the route soon and that registration, if you're interested in getting your name into the lottery, is happening as we speak. You can put your name into the hat at ragbri.com. Okay, let's do it. As I said at the beginning of the show, my first guests are Eve Kosky and Roger Strauss, the husband and wife team that has produced the Georgia Tandem Rally for 22 years. In addition to the nuts and bolts of the event, I wanted to know what their thinking is about the sport of tandem riding and what they are seeing as the registrations are coming in for the event. Hello, Eve and Roger. Welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist, and thanks for being my guests this week.
It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
And hello to all the listeners on WJCU 88.7 FM on your dial.
All my John Carroll local people will be so happy. Eve, get a little closer to the mic, would you please?
I'll try.
Oh, that's perfect. Much, much better. So, of course, this is not just a broadcast. It is a podcast, and it is heard literally all over the world. So I'm hoping maybe we'll bring some new riders to your event, which is the Georgia Tandem Rally, one of the oldest tandem events of its type in the U.S. We have only actually, honestly, been to one tandem rally. It was Midwest in Dayton many years ago, and it rained the whole weekend, which was typical.
Yes, we were there.
Oh. You saw our little vendor table then?
Maybe. It was a while ago. We definitely saw the flight museum because, as you said, it rained. So we had to find other ways to entertain ourselves and our young son. So But it's a wonderful museum, and we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we've been to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and been through the museum, too. It's really very cool. It is cool. But we were hoping to do more riding. Anyway, let's talk about the Georgia Tandem Rally. Tell us a little bit about the background, because it is a long-standing event.
First, I just want to qualify one of the oldest tandem rallies. It's the of its kind that's the important part. We have hosted every single Georgia Tandem Rally, so that's what makes it unique. Most other rallies, the regional rallies and state rallies, are hosted by different people or different clubs every year. So we're the only rally that the same people have hosted every year for 21 years. So that's why we say that.
That's a great point. One I had not actually realized, because I do know that the Midwest and the Southeast and all of those rallies are hosted in different areas by different people, different clubs.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Okay. Very cool. So why do you do this?
Well, you know, that is a question that so many people ask us, and this might seem unbelievable, but we really enjoy it, and we're really good at the details. And it's just what we do.
This is like a personal question, but are you retired or have you've done other things? There was an allusion to broadcasting in somebody's background.
I don't want to hog all the airtime here, darling, but we are retired. We've been retired for the last 5 years. We did this 15 times while we were both fully employed with full-time jobs at the cable news network here in Atlanta.
Aha.
That's CNN for those of you who don't know what CNN stands for.
I think we can figure it out. Yes, cable news network. It's funny. I guess that could be a Jeopardy question. What is CNN?
Well, yeah. You know, the millennials may not know, and I know you're always going for a younger audience, so... You know, we'll just be hip and we'll call it the CNN.
The CNN. So tell me a little bit about the details of the rally. Do you change the routes? How long are they? That kind of thing.
Every year we go to a different city, which is the beauty of GTR is that most state rallies just kind of stay in the same city and they do the same routes every year, or they, you know, use the same facilities every year. We don't do that. We've been to cities more than once, but we never do the same city twice in a row. We did, you know, way back in the early years, like in 1999, that's the way we did it. We did it a year, then we came back to the city the next year. But then in 2004 or so, we decided we would just go to a different city every year. So this year, we're going to the beautiful metropolis of Tifton, Georgia, which is billed as the friendliest city in Georgia, we'll see. And we've never been there before, which is kind of exciting. For those of you without Google Maps, Tifton is about 62 miles north of the Georgia-Florida line off of Interstate 75.
Boy, that'd be a straight shot for us.
It would, yes.
Yeah, 71 down to 75. Yeah, really. Let me remind our listeners, we're speaking with Eve, and I'm going to try and get this right, Eve Kofsky and Roger Strauss.
Yep.
They are the ride directors for the Georgia Tandem Rally. This is going to be year 22 or 21?
22.
Okay, so they've already done 21. I guess they have it down. I don't think that'll be a problem. So Tifton, I looked it up before, of course, I called you, and it's small. Are you guys going to, like, increase the size of this town by all of these tandems? Like Ragbri does, you know, Ragbri comes in and just takes over a town and overwhelms it. I don't think the tandem rally would do that, but it is going to change sort of the economic impact in Tifton, yes?
Yes, actually it does. And, you know, we're really into cyclotourism and what the economy of it is. In fact, I was talking to I won't tell you who it is because it would give away where next year's rally might be.
Okay.
We're already working on next year because we're retired, right? So we have the time. But he says that bicycle rides or any event that comes into a town, according to their studies, it generates $100 per person per night that they're there.
Wow.
So, you know, if you do the math, if you've got 100 tandem teams and you're there in a town for 3 nights, then, you know, that I did the math real fast and it was $60,000.
Yes,
so,
it was. Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
Here we are generating $60,000, which of course is sales tax, and it's spread out between caterers and venue rentals and, you know, hotel nights, and people are buying food while they're there and they're buying gas. And so, you know, for just the little itty bitty Georgia Tandem Rally coming to Tifton, it's a good thing for them. It's a good, you know, everybody wins.
Right. So how you alluded to 100 teams. Is that what you're going to see? 100 tandem teams? Do you have a limit?
Right now, our limit is 100 teams. It's been higher in the past, but our attendance in the last 3 or 4 years has kind of swung down towards 100. So it's what we're comfortable with right now. If we have to make it bigger because there's more demand, I think we can do that this year. Some years you can't, but I think this year we can. So right now we're saying 100 teams.
Let's talk a second about the fact that it was bigger and now is slightly smaller. Before we actually started having this conversation so that the listeners could hear it, I told you I wanted to ask you about how your demographic has changed and what you're seeing, and do you need to change the way you do what you've done in rallies in the past to either attract a different demographic or to make the current demographic more comfortable?
That's a really good question, and it's something we talk about a lot, because we've been riding tandem since we got ours in 1996. And we had a group of friends in our community that we rode with. There was a large group of us. We were in our 40s and we were riding tandem. And over the years, many from that original group are still riding tandem. But when we see the registration, we do not have a lot of people in their 40s signing up to do tandem rally. So the tandem rally demographic, from what we've observed, has just gotten older. And the saddest thing for us as rally organizers who, you know, lovingly put this event on every year, is there's a certain percentage of people who don't come back anymore. They age out. And it's really sad for us. We've met so many lovely people through this event, and then they're done. They physically can't do it anymore. One or other member of the team becomes ill, or I mean, it's heartbreaking. And we've actually watched our population decrease without seeing the young people riding tandem. And I don't think there are, I don't have the information on single bike riders or half bike riders. I don't know what the demographic is like there. I don't know if the younger people are doing it, but we're just really watching people walk away, and we do not have people replacing them.
So that brings up a couple of questions for me that you may or may not be able to answer. Being in the bicycle business for over 4 decades and seeing the same thing happening, that we're seeing a much older population now who are still riding, whether it's single or tandem, and a younger population that is looking for something different, gravel racing or gravel rides. The tandem market itself, I don't know how, having been out of retail now for a few years, I don't know how the actual availability of tandems, you know, Santana is still, I think, doing a great job. Commotion does a great job. Da Vinci does a little bit of stuff. I'm not sure if people are being introduced to the sport. I guess that's where I'm going with that. So when we got into the tandem market, which was right around the time you started riding in the 90s, the late 90s, we were selling a lot of tandems. And that dropped off. So I don't know, have you had to actually change the way you're doing your event to accommodate the people who are coming? And is there anything you can do to attract new people?
Well, you know, we've talked about the new people thing a lot. There's a very large contingent of younger people that are riding gravel tandems, but most of them ride road also. Some people don't like to spend $300 for a tandem weekend, you know, to register for it. But, you know, if you think about what a single bike ride costs for six, you know, we're doing 3 days of riding and you've got two people doing 3 days of riding, you know, if you figured out what that costs for a single bike ride, I mean, some of them in California are $125 a person a day. So, you know, think about that and think of what a tandem route costs. It's actually pretty cost efficient. Unfortunately, you know, we are having trouble with the younger demographics. We love it when the kids come, you know, kids meaning 45-year-olds. So what we've done is that maybe we've made some of the options shorter. You know, it used to be that maybe 35 or 40 would be some of our shorter options, but now I've kind of kicked it up to 30 miles or the high 20s, you know, as our shortest option just for the people who are, I mean, we do have 75-year-olds doing this thing.
Sure.
And they're, you know, the husband and wife are out there, they're riding and they're going up and down the hills, and a lot of them do it without complaining. And, you know, bless their hearts, as we say in the South. I mean, good for them, and we hope to join them someday when we're 75 and still be doing it. But fortunately, one thing that has helped a little bit is the e-bikes thing. You know, we have a lot of riders from Florida. In fact, the majority of our riders come up from Florida. So they're about a third of the entire rally comes from Florida. And a lot of them are on e-bikes now. And, you know, it's kind of opened up a little bit of a debate whether that's a good thing or it's a bad thing. But they are coming, and that's a good thing.
Very interesting. Once again, let me remind our listeners, we're speaking with Eve Kofsky and Roger Strauss. They are the ride directors for the Georgia Tandem Rally. And while we are going to get a little more information about the rally itself, it's an interesting conversation about who's riding today in not just on tandems, but even on singles. And I think the e-bike thing is a good thing for the most part. I mean, there's some, of course, controversy about trails and paths and roads and all those things. But I was in Israel in November, and the increase in ridership on the ride I was assisting was 30% for women because we offered e-bikes this year. So I think it does make a difference. It was a huge number of riders compared to the previous 4 years of the ride. So it was really, really interesting. So let's go back to the rally for a second. This is a part of Georgia you haven't been to in the past. Tell us a little bit about the routes themselves and the roads that they're going to be riding on.
This part of Georgia is like what we call tandem friendly, because there's like a Piedmont part of Georgia. We call it the fall line, where the glaciers basically stopped back in the old days. So anything that was north of Macon was, you know, the hills were caused basically by the glaciers that stopped there, you know, that they eroded out and made the ruts and stuff, which turned into the hills, which are now our road. Tifton is south of Macon, which means it's very...
So I would just like to say that for those who are not familiar with their Georgia geography, Macon is the exact center of the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay. So anyway, now you've got the hills that were made by the gentle lapping of the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean. But this isn't a Michener book. We don't have to go back to the beginning. But so the good thing about this year is it's very tandem friendly, and you know, the steepest hill might be 3%, but you know, you get enough momentum from one downhill to go up the next uphill. So it's really nice. And you know, those who are actually pedaling as opposed to using their e-bikes are going to have very nice times this year.
Talk about food. We need to talk about food. You know, cyclists ride to eat and eat to ride. So,
Absolutely.
How are you working? We're starting and ending in Tifton each day, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the way the Georgia Tandem Rally works is we stay in host hotels, and if possible, we'll do the rides from the hotels. Once in a while, we'll throw in a remote start if there's going to be a traffic issue on a Friday. But for the most part, we ride from the hotel, and we end at the hotel. And we're very, very concerned about the food and the fun that goes with the riding, because that's what it's all about. We gather on Thursday, because we do our first ride on Friday morning. And all the rides are organized rides with group starts at this rally. We gather on Thursday night. We usually have some kind of cocktail hour event. I can tell you that we had a place secured, and that location is now now to be determined, because we believe that the event facility, it was a tap room and they didn't make it, so they're not there anymore. But
is that breaking news? Are we breaking news here on this show?
We are.
What, the demise of the demise of a tap room? That's not good.
Yeah,
that's not good. So we gather, we party, we get together, we register people, we give them their packets, and then people are on their own for food Friday, lunch and dinner, but we have a big welcome party on Friday night, which this year is, have you said what it is?
No. Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's Cupcakes in the Courtyard. And we've got a local gal who has a cupcake truck, trailer, and she's going to bring us cupcakes. And we're going to have a party at a pretty cool location.
The city of Tifton has their city hall in an old hotel. And they have graciously donated us the facility for the night.
Nice.
We're taking over City Hall, and there's this beautiful courtyard out there where the old hotel had a courtyard, and we're having cupcakes in that courtyard, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And thank you to the city of Tifton for doing that for us.
Sounds like a fun weekend. There's something called the GTR pre-ride. What is the pre-ride?
Well, if you know, 3 days aren't enough, now you can you can extend it to 6. So we get a lot of people that drive in from all over the country, a lot of people from Texas, and we decided after we retired.
And the Midwest.
And the Midwest, that's true. Ohio, we do get a lot of riders from Ohio, Diane, so, you know, just as an impetus.
It's a big cycling state. I can believe that, absolutely.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I had a tandem that was going to get couplers put on it this year, like you.
Yes, we are.
we listened to episode number 485 the other night and heard your interview with your husband.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I was looking at the frame yesterday going, all right, when's it going out? You know, it's like watching your baby go to school for the first time. It's like, oh my God, he's going to send it away.
I got to say, that was a tough interview. I thought that interviewee might have been a little easier and a little friendlier, but he was tough.
He is tough. You know what? It's really funny. He is just very eloquent all the time until you put a microphone in front of him.
One of those.
Yeah, but he, I think it came across. We got there.
Oh yeah.
There have been other conversations we've had. We had one on it's the November 23rd of 2017 show that is really phenomenal. It's a great interview. It was right after we got back from our first trip to the Middle East. And we were together on that one. So he was really good on that one. So I guess we need to do two things. One is to tell listeners how they can find out more about the rally. And it would be nice if we gave them the dates, don't you think?
Indeed. GeorgiaTandemRally.com. The dates of the pre-tour are May 11th through 14th. And then on the 14th, we never did finish about the pre-tour. But the pre-tour is in Cordele, which is 40 miles from Tifton. So you can extend your experience to 6 days And the pre-tour is very inexpensive. It's only about $75 for the whole team to do the 3 days of riding. So we stay in Cordele for 3 days, same kind of riding, same kind of terrain. Cordele is the watermelon capital of Georgia.
Cool.
You may not have known that.
No, I did not. No.
And you may not also know that there's a watermelon queen in Cordele, and we're going to try to get her to come to one of the rides and say hi to everybody.
By all means.
You know, of course, because she's there. And so anyway, that's from May 11th to 14th. And then on May 14th, you can get in your tandem hauler and go 40 miles south and go down to Tifton. And Georgetown Rally is from May 14th to the 17th this year.
Okay. As I said right at the beginning, we are talking with Eve Kofsky, Roger Strauss from the Georgia Tandem Rally. It sounds like a great weekend in May. It's a good time to get away if you've had a long winter. I'll bet it'll be beautiful down there at that time of year. Not too hot.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, well, that's true. You never know. Thanks so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Okay. It's a pleasure being here.
All right. Good luck with the ride.
It's been great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. We hope to see you there.
We've got it on our calendar. We'll see what happens. Thanks. Eve Kofsky and Roger Strauss join me from their home in Atlanta. If you're interested in more information about the GTR, Georgia Tandem Rally, or would like to register for the event, you can log on to georgiatandemrally.com. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, I'll introduce you to Sam Noel, who will be competing in the U23 2020 World Cyclocross Championships in Switzerland next month. You're listening to The Outspoken Cyclist.
You're listening to the station that is your home for college radio in Cleveland, 88.7 FM, WJCU, University Heights.
We are back. I'm Diane Jenks, and you are listening to The Outspoken Cyclist. I was noodling around on Facebook last week and came across something called the Deer Farm Cross Race. Besides the fact that there really are deer at the farm and that you can get close to them, I also saw that the ride director had posted about a young man who was chosen for the USU 23 2020 Cyclocross Worlds in Switzerland and needed some assistance. I contacted the director, Greg Dolbeck, and he in turn told me about Orchard Cross, a cyclocross group that sponsors juniors. And then that led me to Sam Noel. Hi, Sam. Welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. Thanks for joining me on the show this week.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. First off, of course, congratulations. You made the USU 23 2020 Cyclocross World Championship team. How's that feel?
It feels pretty good, yeah.
How did that come about?
Jesse Anthony, kind of the director of the cyclocross at USA Cycling, he looks at your season, the top two from the Pan American Championship and top three from Nationals auto qualify, and then for the remaining spots, they look at how you did compared to everyone else throughout the season, and they choose the person with the best average finish, which is kind of, that's the selection process for the team.
Got it. And you are one of, I think I saw six men in U23?
Yes.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
Six.
So of the six, other than you, of the five remaining, who do you think is your biggest rival for the top spot? Just out of curiosity.
Well, everyone's super strong. And, you know, Gage is on the team, and Gage won the pro race at Nationals. So obviously he's at the top of his game. And then Eric, the U23 cyclocross champion, going to be really fast. So, I mean, it's going to be a battle out there. I think that it's cool being able to ride with these guys in races when you have a bunch, like all the other foreign riders. It's nice to see some of the Canadians and the other people on the U.S. team there. It's just some familiar faces that you've raced against all season. It's like, okay, it's just like a race at home. We're racing together, and then you have everyone else. So it kind of, it helps.
Yeah, no, I can understand what you're saying. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit and tell me a little bit about your background and how you actually got into cross racing. I mean, there are other disciplines, but Vermont maybe lends itself to cyclocross because it is New England, of course.
Yeah, definitely. New England has a really, really strong cycling community, definitely in cyclocross. But my family and I moved to Vermont in 2006. And a couple of years after that, my dad brought me to a Wednesday night cyclocross practice race at Catamount. And I was on my mountain bike. I just had a blast out there and I was hooked. And throughout the years, I've been fortunate to have amazing opportunities and progress as a rider in person. And it's been a really cool journey.
I'll bet it has. If you were first introduced in 2006, how old are you now?
I'm 19, almost 20.
So you were like a little kid, tiny little kid.
Yeah. I started racing when I was 10, so in 2010.
Let me remind our listeners, we're speaking with Sam Noel. He has been selected for the U.S. U23 2020 Cyclocross World Championships. They're going to be in Switzerland. We're going to talk about that in a moment or two. So how are you managing to ride, to race, and to study?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. A friend of mine once told me that in college, there are three things everyone wants. That's good grades, good sleep, and a social life. And obviously that's not always the case. It's pretty general. But when you try to add in racing and wanting to have good results into that, it makes it tough. So it's really, I think I speak for the majority of the student athletes, it's about having good time management and being able to make sacrifices. And whether that be you kind of have to say no for parties if you need to, or just for any social event, if you need to focus, need to get healthy, if you need to study, or if I have a race coming up, you need to know when to say no and just focus on yourself. So I think that it's hard to balance everything. I'm still learning. I learned a lot last year and it's coming together, but still a work in process.
So one of the things that comes up for me, because it's really, really important when you expend the kind of calories you do when you train and race, is what's the food like at the University of Vermont if you live in the dorm?
Yeah, UVM has a couple good dining halls on campus. It really hasn't been a problem for me. Just kind of, they open early, they close late, so it's easy to, if I have an early morning workout, to eat before. And if I have something later in the evening, to eat after. The food's not generally as bad as I think some colleges. It's pretty good. So that's definitely really nice.
That's good. That's really, really good. Yeah. So are you racing for a team right now? Are you on a team?
I am, yeah. I'm on Competitive Edge Cycling. And it's a team out of Massachusetts. It is my first year on the team this year. Really like it. We had a really good season this year. The program's pretty new, but this season it took some big jumps forward. And the support we get is really great. The mechanics, everyone on the team, it's awesome.
What kind of bike are you riding? Whose bike are you riding? I mean, the team riding.
We're on Trex.
Okay, very cool. And so those are going to be shipped over to Switzerland?
Yeah, I actually fly with them.
Ah, very good. Keep your hand on them. Yeah. I just had a friend have a bike disappear from FedEx. So not a good thing. So when will you be leaving for Switzerland? When are the races?
So the U23 race is on Saturday, which is February 1st. And I will leave January 28th.
So you'll have a couple of days there. Will you be able to ride courses that you'll be eventually racing, or at least, sort of get out and take a look at them?
Yeah, we'll have a couple of days to pre-ride before. A lot of the other teams already over there because they stayed in Spain between the Christmas block I was just at and the World Championships. So it's me and one other rider who are meeting them over for the U23s.
So you were not in Spain?
I was not. No, I had to get back for school.
There is that pesky school. Once again, let me remind our listeners, we're speaking with Sam Noel. He is one of our world championship team riders for the Cyclocross Worlds in Switzerland coming up next month. So do you have a specific goal for the events you're going to do? How many races will there be also?
It's just one race, just the world championships.
Okay.
Over the Christmas block of racing, I caught a stomach bug halfway through, and that really affected my race results and kind of my morale. So I'm really hoping to improve on the results for this World Championships, improve on my result last year in the race, and just ride as hard as I can, have a clean race, and those are my goals.
That's a good goal. I like it. Just get there, ride well, and finish, right?
Yep, do the best I can.
Cool. So I want to talk about one more thing before we tell people how they can sort of follow what's going on. The athletes who are going over really are not supported economically by USA Cycling. Somebody set up a GoFundMe page for you, and it took off, and your expenses are now covered. Who did that, and what do you think is important that listeners might want to know about how we take care of our athletes in the U.S.?
Yeah, well, so USA Cycling, they offer an incredible amount of support when we're over there. They hire many mechanics, they have soigneurs. It's an expensive trip, and especially for Worlds where there's more people in the more riders that they have to support. So they're doing the best that they can, and they provide a tremendous amount of support, and it's really awesome to see how USA Cycling Cyclocross program has improved over the years that I've been going over to Europe. It's really taken big leaps, and especially with the new director, Jesse Anthony, is doing a wonderful job. So, we basically, as riders, some of us have to cover flights and then a ground fee while we're over there just for additional support. And I set up the GoFundMe with the help of my team, Competitive Edge. And I've been so grateful for the amount of support people have given me, especially in the New England cycling community. And races like Orchard Cross and Deer Farm really helped promote the fundraiser. Orchard Cross, for the last 24 hours of it, matched every dollar that was donated. And I'm really humbled and overwhelmed by the amount of generosity in the cycling community I have around here. It's really awesome.
It is awesome. I've been following the GoFundMe page. Actually, you were introduced to me by, is it Greg Dobek?
Yep.
From Deer Farm, who's going to be on the show a little bit later as we get closer to the Deer Farm race, which I'm very excited about just because I love animals. I would love to play with all those deer. That would be so awesome. But most important is that you are now going to be able to race with a clear financial conscience. You don't have to think about that. And I think it's really good. If people are interested in following what you're doing and knowing more about the GoFundMe, how would they find you and how can they follow the Worlds?
So I post most on Instagram and Facebook. And then the GoFundMe is that I actually reached my goal and exceeded my goal. So very happy with that. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook is what I primarily post to.
Okay. Well, I wish you a lot of luck. Congratulations on making the team. We will be watching. And once we see results, we'll post them on our Facebook page too. Sam, have a safe trip over there and a great race.
Thank you very much.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sam Noel joined me from Vermont to tell me about his journey to the World Cyclocross Championships in Switzerland next month. It's nice to speak with a young man who has his kind of grace and style. If you'd like to follow his progress, you can find him on Instagram and Facebook. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll come back to speak with Joy Hancock, the executive director of Bike Florida. You're listening to The Outspoken Cyclist.
WJCU, University Heights, from the campus of John Carroll University.
We'll be right back. We're back, and you are listening to The Outspoken Cyclist. I'm Diane Jenks. Joy Hancock literally changed my thinking about Florida, cycling, tourism, and some of the attractions that I thought might be detractions to coming to the state. Hi, Joy. Welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. Thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So you know my friend Christine Acosta, and she
absolutely.
Yes, she mentioned Bike Florida, and then she mentioned some things that made me very interested in not only talking with you about what you do, but about how you're thinking about how things are changing in the bicycle world. So, first of all, what is that creature you're holding on the website? What is that?
That is a live horseshoe crab.
It's huge.
It is huge. And it has little feet or claws, I guess. And it's not harmful in any way. And it's actually really cool to hold because it's tickly. But you find them all over Florida. And most people find them on the beach already past. But this was on one of our tours that we led. We had a naturalist come to the area to talk about the flora and fauna, and he brought some live horseshoe crabs for us to play with, along with fresh oysters for us to shuck and then eat. So it was a wonderful evening.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. I would like to hold one of those guys. It's so cool looking. It's a great picture.
They're really, really fun.
That's good. So you are the director of Bike Florida. I'd like to get a little bit of background about you, and then we're going to dive into the organization, because it was very interesting to read that you speak three other languages besides English, and I'm wondering if language was part of your education.
Actually, it was, and I need to put in a little bit of a disclaimer here. I am maybe proficient, intermediate level, German and Spanish, but in Russian, I was at one point fluent. I studied, my undergrad is in Russian language and literature, and after I graduated from college, I spent a bit of time in St. Petersburg.
Nice. So you could still get by if you decided to go to Moscow anytime soon.
Yeah, I could mostly get by. I don't know if you've heard of Duolingo.
Yes.
But I've been using that to brush up my Russian, but also learning Spanish through that. And lately I've thrown in Portuguese. So my husband and I love traveling. We love languages. So it's a fun, I guess, hobby for us to do.
No kidding. That sounds like fun.
Well, language is the most important thing for people to connect. And I believe if most of us spoke other languages, we would all get along a lot better. But that's just my personal opinion.
What a great philosophy. I love it. Let me remind our listeners, we're speaking with Joy Hancock. She is the executive director of Bike Florida. And I guess we should actually talk about that. What do you think?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you first become involved in advocacy? Because Bike Florida is basically an advocacy organization.
Yes. I'm from Oklahoma, and I became a director of a week-long bicycle tour in Oklahoma. Through that organization, I became involved with the Bicycle Tour Network. It's a national organization for people in the bicycle tourism industry. And through connections I made there, I found out that there was a position opening with Bike Florida that was similar. And I applied and got the job, and that is that.
And how long ago was that?
We moved here in September of 2014. So it's been a little bit over 5 years.
Nice, nice. Now you're in the Tampa, St. Pete area?
Correct.
Ah, that must be how you met Christine.
Yes, that is. That's also the reason why we live in, that's why we live in the place that we live in Florida, because my husband and I did a triathlon in Clearwater, which is where we live, a few years before we moved here. And when I got the job with Bike Florida, they said, you can live wherever you want in Florida. So we said we want to live near that beautiful beach where we ran and swam and rode our bicycles. And now we're here, and we love it.
So let me ask you a question, which is totally off topic. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who owns a couple bike shops down there, and I'm wondering if you know who it is. Chain Wheel Drive?
Oh, yes. That's our bike shop. That's our local bike shop.
Okay, so we'll give it a little plug. Yeah, Tom Jessup and I have been friends for 30 years, so that's interesting. Yes. Very cool, very cool. All right, let's move on to Bike Florida. Some of the programs and events that you do. So what, and I need to ask this, there used to be a Bike Florida sort of week-long tour every year that a lot of my friends and customers up here in Cleveland would fly down and do. Is that part of what you're doing? Or is that different?
No, for 25 years, Bike Florida put on this week-long bicycle tour. And the word Bike Florida was synonymous with that tour, which was annual 500 to 600 people, all mostly tent camping. We would provide some indoor camping. Some would stay in hotels. It's funny when you talk about Ohio, because I always say that most bicycle tourists are retired engineers from Ohio.
That's true.
We get a lot of Ohioans escaping the cold because, yes, the ride is in March. But as our organization was growing and reaching its quarter century mark, we started thinking about how we could better serve Florida. And even though a week-long bicycle tour is great, we just weren't sure if that was having the best impact that it could have on our state. And we started looking at examining the reason why we exist and going back to the beginning and looking at what our vision is for Florida as a state, as well as what our mission should be. The outcome of that is we came up with a new vision, which is a Florida as the premier cycling experience. Our mission is to help Florida communities improve their economic health, bicycle infrastructure, and safety through bicycle tourism. So that opens us up to doing just more than this week-long tour, which historically has taken up all of our time and energy and fun. It had just become this behemoth that was not allowing us to really expand and really be a statewide organization. So now we are working with communities a bit closer, maybe doing 1, 2, 3 day rides. We are also serving as consultants or bringing people together to learn from each other about what they can do to increase bicycle tourism to their town, because that doesn't have to be a tour. It can be bicycle infrastructure, or it can be hotels that have better knowledge of how they can accommodate cyclists so they get those cyclists to come to their town. There are so many more ways that we can have this impact to improve safety for bicycling in the state other than putting on this one bicycle tour.
So it's interesting that you sort of ended that thought with safety, because Florida, of course, does have sort of a sour reputation when it comes to bicycle mm-hmm. safety. And it's good to mm-hmm. know that not just you, there are a lot of people working to get Florida in a different position about safety. But some of the other events and programs that are on your website, which, by the way, if anybody's interested, they can go look at bikeflorida.org. Is called, there's one coming up not too soon from now, or long from now, I'm sure you're like freaking out. The Trail Trifecta is in March, and that you can ride in March, of course, is the envy of all of us in Ohio. What is the conference about, and who's going to be attending, and what will you be focusing on at that conference?
Well, yes, we are actually very excited about this conference, and it's called the Trail Trifecta because it's actually a partnership between Bike Florida, the St. John's River to Sea Loop Alliance, and the city of, in the Chamber of Titusville, Florida. And so the actual event is taking place in Titusville. We kick it off, Bike Florida does, with the first annual bicycle tourism conference for the state. So our part is we are bringing in all of the experts and advocates and lovers of bicycle tourism in Florida. We're inviting tourism development councils, transportation planning organizations, county commissioners, city councils to come together to learn about all the great things that are currently happening to make Florida a premier destination as a bicycle tourist, and also how they can capitalize on that. And our theme for this is coming soon to a Florida town near you, because Florida right now, we are on the cusp of blowing up like gangbusters for bicycle tourism. So we want to be ready. So that's our contribution to that. The next part is there's what's called the St. John's River to Sea Loop, which is part of, well, it's going to be part of a cross-state trail, which I can get to in a moment, that is, I can't remember off the top of my head how long it is, but there's a whole group of communities that are all on this section of trail, and they come together annually and actually more often than that to talk about their role on the trail, to talk about businesses on the trail, and to do whatever they can to support it and make it as known as possible and make sure that everyone can benefit from it.
Let me remind our listeners again that we're speaking with Joy Hancock. She is the executive director of Bike Florida, an advocacy organization, but it seems to have a really wide breadth of things going on. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to talk with Joy some more. You're listening to The Outspoken Cyclist. We are back on The Outspoken Cyclist. Before the break, Joy and I were talking about the 2020 Florida Bicycle Tourism Conference, aptly titled the Trail Trifecta. Let's get back to our conversation. One of the things about bicycle tourism, as we know, it is tourism in general. And Florida's famous for things like Disney World and I guess Universal has something down there. And, you know, it's all of that. And I think of those places as being concrete jungles, frankly. So I'm wondering also about the environmental impact that some people are trying to make on places like the Everglades. I mean, there are a lot of things going on. Florida's a very diverse and interesting state. What's going to bring a lot of this together, do you think, so that people will be encouraged to come and ride? Because I know a lot of people are saying, nah, I don't want to ride in Florida. All those old people are down there. There's that. And then it doesn't have a great reputation for that.
Well, that's a great comment. So first of all, to talking about the reputation of Florida being dangerous and having a high fatality rate for both pedestrians and cyclists, that is true. There is currently, though, a lot of work being done to increase the pedestrian and bicycle safety and education in the state. Also proud to say that this year, Florida is the 10th most bicycle-friendly state, according to the League of American Bicyclists. We're very proud of that. But the problem that Florida has is there are roughly 900 people a day that move to our state.
Wow.
Yes. So what that means is traffic and people driving is not only is a problem of the past and present, but it's going to continue being a problem of the future. There's so much development going on, and like most American towns or states, there's not a very good public transportation infrastructure. So on our end, one of the issues we were having when we were putting on these mass bicycle tours is finding ways to keep our riders safe so that they're not riding in high traffic, but also putting on the ride so that we don't enrage the locals. Because part of the reasons of doing this tour was to show the world that we're bicyclists and that we have every right to the road. But what was happening was it was just creating a larger gap between the two to where they were both disliking each other even more. And the other part of it is if you're just getting into cycling, or if you've got kids, or you're wanting to just explore for the first time, you're not going to get on a heavily trafficked road. That is why in Florida, a lot of the emphasis is going to the development of trails, non-motorized urban trails. And so that is the thing that we are really super excited about. And so our, I guess, like Florida's subversive agenda is if we can convince people to build safe, fun, and enjoyable infrastructure, then not only will they bring in more tourists and money, but then the local communities will have an increased quality of life. So that's really our roundabout way of doing the advocacy part of it. In regards to old people and Orlando and all of it, all of those things there, I personally love Harry Potter World at Universal Studios. I recommend it to anyone, but that is not all that there is to Florida. So the Florida State Park System is amazing, and they are one of our partners that we work with. But when you get off the beaten path and you go inland, or even some places on the coast where you can ride and you see what we call the real Florida, you have a completely different experience than you ever thought you could. And pretty much year round, you can enjoy it. So one of the things that we have been talking with various towns, big to small, is what are ways that we could get people who go and do Disney, for example, they go and spend a week in Disney, but how about we also get them onto the trail? So we can have a best of both concept. And it's not just old people that live here. I promise you. It's not just old people.
No, I know. It was sort of...
Yeah, no, I'm joking. That's what people think, but it's not true.
No, of course it's not true. Well, I did the math at 900 people a day, and we're talking about almost 330,000 new residents every year. And that's an enormous number. Let me remind our listeners once again, we're speaking with Joy Hancock from bikeflorida.org. I wanted to ask about some of the environmental issues where cycling may be helpful. And that is, you know, coastal communities are being faced with climate issues. As I said, the Everglades are being impacted by climate and then other people who want to develop it, which is like beyond me. How do you think your organization or will your organization be able to contribute to helping with some of those issues?
That's an interesting question because we do not advocate or work for environmental protection or improvement. I'm not saying that that doesn't interest us, but that's not our wheelhouse. However, one of the benefits of people riding their bicycles or infrastructure being developed is that people ride their bicycles from point A to point B and they don't use their car. The other part of that is tourists in general are not going to be too happy if some of the beautiful places that they love to go and see become overdeveloped. The other issue is if you constantly have your city underwater because of climate change, then obviously your residents, as well as you won't get any tourists coming anymore. And so much of Florida depends on tourism. We actually work with the city of Key West. They were saying that they have some people on their city council leadership that have been a little hesitant to enact a lot of programs that might help stem climate change or do some more environmentally friendly practices in the city. But they all started recognizing, hey, if we don't start doing something now, it affects our tourism revenue. So the dollars, even if someone doesn't really, I hate to say the word, believe in climate change or thinks that it's a waste of time to really talk about it, in Florida, they know that tourism is dollars and you need to exist and not be underwater. So that's been, another positive consequence that has come about because of tourism and bicycle tourism. But I will also say that, and this is very, and this can be a touchy subject, but there are talks of building trails like through the Everglades, for example, and environmentalists do not, even though it's a bike trail, do not want that to happen because even just a bike trail has that impact on the environment. And that is one of the issues that we have all over the state is when we do build bike trails, so there's people want them, you also have to look at the animals that are being displaced and the just the impacts on the ecosystem.
I know you have to sort of live in these two worlds of being able to economically make sense as well as environmentally make sense. And you're in one of those states where you have to tread pretty lightly as an advocacy mm-hmm. organization. Well, the last thing I want to talk about with you is something that seems to be near and dear to your heart, and it's another kind of advocacy. And I thought it was interesting that you brought it up in your bio on the Bike Florida site. And that is championing mental health awareness. And I want to know about the Go for Graham Foundation and what it is and why you're so involved in it, because it seems to be a big part of your life.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. So I got, there's a guy, a friend of mine, Taylor Ross, who works with Primal Jersey Company, and they do custom jerseys for events.
Right.
If anyone, any event directors are listening right now, got to give Primal a plug because they are the best. They're wonderful. And well, Taylor is a friend of mine, and he was telling me about this organization called Go for Graham. I can sum it up in saying that the goal is to shred the stigma around talking about mental health and to have a positive impact on those who live with these illnesses. And so they are just starting conversations. Also, they contribute money to a research center at the University of Colorado that's looking into mental illness and ways to identify it and not fix it, but learn more about it and see what better solutions there are than there currently exist in the U.S. And so there's basically a team of outdoor enthusiasts. So there's road cyclists, mountain bikers, runners. I'm the kayaker on the team, though I used to cycle, but I'm the lone kayaker right now. And the main reason why this is near and dear to my heart is because I live with several mental illnesses, and I believe that it's time for people to stop feeling so ashamed or judging those who live with mental illnesses. It's just a part of life. And I think it's great that there are so many people now that are coming out and supporting one another and actually talking about this thing that has been had such a huge negative impact on the United States in general. And now that we're talking about it, it just feels so much better, and you just don't feel like you're a crazy person anymore.
Well, I wonder if people could take a different perspective and not look at it as quote unquote an illness, but as just another way of being. So I understand that we have something called a standard and we say that's normal. And I have to say, I don't believe that, that we're all normal in our own way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no such thing as normal. But I will say, at least from my own experience and from the people that I know that I go to support groups with, and just from my own personal journey with relationships and family, is those who do live with a mental condition or illness do have more extreme difficulties that they have to deal with day to day.
Yeah. Okay. I can understand that.
It really. And no, I agree. There is no such thing as normal. I think for everybody is a little nuts in their own way, but it is for some of those that live with these things, where there's a support group I go to, and there are some people that I wonder how they are able to even be there. It's so hard for them, and I have just so much respect for them. And one other part of advocacy passion I'm starting to develop is ways that we can make pedestrian bicycling facilities safe for those at-risk populations, such as the mentally ill, as well as better education for the public to how they should treat or react to people that are mentally ill that are using, that are walking or using bicycles, because a lot of this population do not drive. And so that's the way that they get around. And in Florida, it can be kind of shady sometimes.
Well, it's interesting how cycling, walking, exercise also probably promotes better mental health.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. There's the sunshine. Yeah, being in green places has been shown to have a positive impact on your mental health and just your well-being every day. And that it's actually an intrinsic need that we have to be in a green outdoor space, which I think is really interesting. But yes, absolutely. It helps tremendously.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Who knew it would go in that direction? I mean, I knew I was going to ask a question about why you were involved, but I really enjoyed that part of our conversation. I've been speaking with Joy Hancock. She is the executive director of BikeFlorida.org. If you're interested in all the work they're doing, and they're doing a lot, I'd also like to remind people who are listening that there is this conference. Who is invited to the conference in March, the Trail Trifecta? I guess I need to know that to see whether some of the listeners want to go.
Yeah, anyone and everyone are invited. We will not turn anybody away. And you can get to the conference info by going through our website. There you can do just one day or several days. We are also looking for sponsors. So if there's anyone out there that wants to get the word out there that they are supportive of cycling and the development of cycling tourism in Florida, we would love to have them join us. Anyone can come. We want to share as much as possible.
All right. It is bikeflorida.org. And if you're interested in the conference, you can click on the events tab at the top and it'll take you down. There are a whole bunch of things going on over this next 12 months, it looks like, all the way into 2021. Joy, thank you so much for talking with me. I hope you have a great year in Florida. We're supposed to come down there soon to see Christine. She's been bugging me for a year. So if I do, I'll let you know we're coming.
Absolutely. That would be wonderful.
All right. Well, thanks again. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Joy Hancock joined me from her office at Bike Florida. If you are interested in learning more about the Tourism Conference or any of the other Bike Florida programs and events, you can log on to bikeflorida.org. My thanks to Joy Hancock, as well as Sam Noel and Evan Roger from the Georgia Tandem Rally. Next week, we'll be talking cargo bikes, athlete sponsorship, and more. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to join our Facebook page and answer this week's question, how many bikes do you currently own? You can also send us a tweet at Outspoken Cyclist, don't include the E, or leave a comment on our blog, outspokencyclist.com. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe out there, and remember, if you have a chance, go for a ride. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on The Outspoken Cyclist with Diane Jenks. We hope you enjoyed this week's show and welcome your comments and thoughts on Twitter and Facebook. Visit OutspokenCyclist.com to hear this and all past shows. We'll be back next week with more great conversation and news from the world of cycling. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and never miss an episode. The Outspoken Cyclist is a copyrighted production of DBL Promotions with the assistance of WJCU-FM Cleveland, a service of John Carroll University. Thanks again for listening, ride safely, and we'll see you next week.